Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. The word of the Lord says this. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Let's pray. Lord God, this morning we ask in a mighty way that you will open the truth of your word to us, to show us in vivid ways what it means to live by faith and not by works in the entirety of our Christian life with you. And would you do that in an amazing way by the power of your Holy Spirit in us? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So for my birthday, this past July, if you didn't know, my birthday's in July. If next year you want to get me something, you can. But I got super excited. And I got super excited because for years, for a few years, I have been asking my wife, or at least hinting at the fact that, like, as my kids would get Legos, I'd be like, oh, I like Legos. You want to get me some Legos? And she did. She bought me this giant sort of, it's like a Nordic Viking Lego set. I mean, this thing was huge. It was about 2,100 pieces. The instruction booklet was about 150 pages. And you actually had to build it. You built it in three different sections. And now I don't know if you've ever put a Lego set together or not, but if you have, you know that there are some super tiny pieces, right? Like you open these bags, you pour them out, and there's like all of these little tiny pieces, and you're just thinking, like, these are all going to be a part of this thing? And so you pour them all out, but at the same time, if you aren't careful, it's very easy to either miss a step with all of those tiny pieces or to take one of those tiny pieces and to put it in the wrong place. And now a lot of times when this happens, like, you can make a mistake like that, and yet you can still end up sort of building the creation, or at least building something that looks like what's on the box. However, there are times when we make an error so bad that unless we sort of like take the whole thing apart, like this Lego creation is never going to come together. This is also true, by the way, if you've ever done like DIY bookshelves or desks, right? Something from like Walmart, Target, IKEA, whatever, like you know the pain of like building it the wrong way. And then that realization of like, oh no, I've got to take this whole thing apart. Well, this happened to me. This happened to me while I was building this Lego creation. And in fact, it happened while I was putting sort of this roof together for the Viking Tower. I looked at the instructions, I built the whole thing, and then I sat there for like 15 minutes. Like, I was trying to attach it, and I was like, why won't this roof, like, go on? Like, it didn't even, I don't know, something was wrong. Like, I was like, it won't attach, it doesn't go, it doesn't, like, turn the right way. Like, there's something wrong. And you know what happens. When this happens either with Legos or like a DIY project, like you know what happens in your mind. Like, of course, like you start blaming, like you blame the directions. Of course, the directions must be wrong. You start blaming the pieces, like, oh, I must not have the right pieces. And then eventually you blame the manufacturer because, of course, the manufacturer built it the wrong way, right? But lo and behold, after blaming everything else, I finally saw it. I made a super crucial error that caused me to put the entire roof together backwards. Very frustrating, by the way. And unless I took it apart, and unless I built it the right way, I would never be able to attach the roof or finish this Viking village. And in a similar way, the Apostle Paul, particularly in these verses that we've gone through, Galatians 2, 15 through 21, he's been laying out the instruction manual, if you will, for how someone is made right with God. In 2, 15 and 16, he makes it clear that a person is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, because no one can be made right with God by their works. Pretty clear, right? But then, in 2:17 through 21, he kind of directs it at himself, and he says that through Christ, he has died to the law, which means that he is no longer enslaved by it. And so instead of trying to earn eternal life by doing works of the law, which again he says is impossible, he is now free from the law and has a new and forever life through faith in Christ. And he said it that way. He applied it to himself to then show the Galatians that they too, like, look, I'm saying this and applying this to me, so you know that you are dead to the law, right? And that therefore you must live by faith in Christ. But now in Galatians 3:1, after sort of laying out these instructions for them, he directly addresses these Gentile believers, sort of like what he did in 1:6-9. That's the kind of the first time that he addressed them, but he's doing it again. And he's doing it to show them that they have made a fatal error. Where they started out well, right, by putting their full hope in Christ alone to save them and justify them, they have now abandoned God's instruction manual, if you will, his instruction manual for faith, and instead, they are trying to complete their salvation by their works. Or we could say it this way, right? If they're building the Lego set of eternal life with God, right, they're building it in the wrong way. And if they don't correct their mistakes, they're going to create something that isn't actually the creation that God has planned. They're going to build something that can't even save them. Because instead of building in God's way through faith in Christ, they will end up building their own gospel of works. Gospel of works that has no power, and again, a gospel of works that can't save them. And if we are not careful, we can do the same thing, right? We can start out well. We can start out well building our life of with God by faith, but then we can end up abandoning God's instructions on how we are actually saved and how we're actually justified before Him. Because even though we know that we are saved by faith in Christ alone, what we do is we often end up treating faith sort of like the door, right? It's sort of like faith is like the entrance to this relationship with God. It's what gets us in the door. But at the same time, now that we're in order to stay in order to grow in that relationship, it's up to us to do it. And when we do this, we end up turning faith into nothing more than an empty gospel of works. And so realizing that this is what the Galatians are doing, and really what we are also susceptible to doing, the Apostle Paul, he is calling us out this morning. And he's calling us out so that we wouldn't be misled into believing a gospel that is devoid of any real power. And as we look at Galatians 3, 1 through 5 this morning, this is the main takeaway, the main thing that we are going to learn today. That if we are going to protect ourselves from an empty gospel, then we must believe that our entire Christian life, from beginning to end, is received by faith in Christ and not by works. And I'm going to read that again. That if we are going to protect ourselves from an empty gospel, then we must believe that our entire Christian life, from beginning to end, is received by faith in Christ and not by works. And the way that the Apostle Paul, the way that he is going to make this point to us this morning, both to us and the Galatians, is actually through a series of questions. And this series of questions is meant to show us exactly this. That every part of our Christian life, again, from beginning to end, it is a gift from God. And again, it's received by faith in Christ and not by works. And so let's jump into our first point. And the first thing that Paul wants us to see this morning is this. It's that we are converted by faith in Christ and not by works. Again, Galatians 3, 1 and 2. Paul writes, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Let me ask you. Has anybody ever said this to you? Have they ever said, you're being an idiot? Some of you, yeah. Some of you, you laugh, but some of you are shaking your heads because you've experienced that before. And now I realize when somebody says that to you, like, that doesn't feel good. Right? Nobody wants to hear that. And you're thinking to yourself, like, okay, maybe, but like you could have been a little bit nicer, right? You could have used some different words. But you need to stop and ask yourself, well, like, why did they say it that way? And it's usually because when we look beneath the surface of an insult like that, we begin to realize that a person is being harsh with us because we are either doing or we are thinking something that is seriously wrong. And so in order to get our attention and sort of to help us see the error of our ways, then they spew these hurtful words at us, right? They spew these harsh words so that we would stop and hopefully change our thinking and change our behavior. Well, that's what the Apostle Paul is doing this morning in these verses when he says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? He's literally saying, you idiot Galatians. That's what that means. He's saying, you idiot Galatians, who has deceived you and led you into evil? And he's being harsh like this because he wants them to wake up from their sin. And he wants them to see that their desire to add works to their faith, that it is evil, right? It is evil and it is not compatible with the gospel of Christ crucified. This is why he says in the second half of verse 1, it was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Because here's the thing, the Galatians, they heard the gospel. Right? They were taught the gospel and they believed the gospel. They believed the gospel of Christ crucified. So they knew that salvation comes through faith in Christ alone. And really, Paul's like, you don't have an excuse. Right? You don't have an excuse for why you're beginning to trust in your works to save you. But Paul, being very caring and loving, right? He doesn't just lob insults at them. And sometimes we feel like doing that, right? We're so mad at somebody, we just want to like, just let me make you feel bad. And Paul doesn't do that. Instead of just chastising them, he asks them a question. And his question is not only meant to get at the root of how they're saved, but it's going to actually set up then these other questions that he asks in the future points. And he says this in verse 2. He says, let me ask you this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Another way to ask this question is he's really saying, how were you saved? Right? How were you saved? How did you come to faith in Jesus? Or really, how were you converted to Christianity? And when we look at this particular verse, you see this language of the Spirit, right? Receiving the Spirit. And one of the reasons that Jesus says it that way is because in the early New Testament church, one of the signs that confirmed that someone had actually come to faith is they received a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Right? And that manifestation, as we look in Scripture, is usually something like speaking in tongues or prophecy. If you remember the book of Acts, this happened particularly at Pentecost, right? Where those early believers, now they received the Holy Spirit, now all of a sudden they're speaking in tongues, and everybody's like, oh, I can hear them in my own language. But it also happened in the Gentile churches. In fact, we've already looked at one, but we're going to use this example from the book of Acts. In Acts 10, 44 through 46, Peter, he preaches the gospel to Cornelius and his household, and then we see the Holy Spirit coming upon them. Here's what it says. While Peter was saying these things, again, that's preaching the gospel to them, the Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Now, this does not mean that you need to speak in tongues to be saved. Don't think that I'm going to be like, oh, what's he doing up there, right? Don't denounce me as a heretic. Rather, it was a visible sign that God gave for a time, right? God gave it for a time to prove the genuineness of someone's faith, that they had truly put their faith in Jesus, and as a result, had received God's gift of His Holy Spirit in their life. And so then in Paul, and my point to this is Paul, when he says this in Galatians 3:2, he's simply asking, how did you first come to know Jesus? That's really what he's asking here. How did you first come to know Jesus? Was it by your works, works of the law? Or was it by faith? And the Galatians would know the answer. Right? They would have to answer, okay, we came to faith when we heard you and Barnabas preach the gospel. Right? And as a result, when that happened, the Holy Spirit came upon us. You see, Paul, he's bringing them back to the beginning of their faith, to their conversion, to show them that their salvation, that it was a gift from God. It came through the preaching of the gospel, and it was received when they heard about Christ crucified, and they believed in Him. And so his point to them in pointing that out is this, that their works have nothing to do with their coming to faith. It has nothing to do with it. And as we will see in the next point, that also means that it has nothing to do with keeping them in that faith. I realize that I have said this a lot in this series, but I know that most of us believe that we came to know Jesus as our Savior by trusting in Him, by faith, and not by works. That's not a point that most of us, that I would have to argue with many of you on. I realize that. And it wouldn't surprise me that if you have memorized verses like Ephesians 2:8 and 9, right? It's in fact up here on the overhead or whatever you call it. Overhead. I saw my old school days of like the overhead projector with the transparency projector. It says this: for by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing; it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Man, we love those verses. But if we're going to say that we know those verses and believe those verses, we need to come to grips with two important realities. The first one I don't think is hard, right? The first one is, if your faith is a gift from God and it's not your own doing, then you cannot do anything to save yourself. To which all of us would say, amen, right? Absolutely, absolutely. Second one might be a little bit more difficult, but is also very important, that you also need to understand that you didn't choose God, but God chose you. As Paul writes in Ephesians 1:4, even as He, God, chose us in Him, that's Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. You need to understand that left to yourself, you would always choose sin. Left to yourself, you would always choose death. Left to yourself, you would always choose disobedience. But the great truth that should bring immense joy to all Christians is that God, He chose us. He didn't leave us to ourselves. He chose us before time began. That's before the foundation of the world. That's what that means. Before time began, to be His children. You and I, we didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. But by the grace of God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, He brought us to faith. And He gave us a new and everlasting life. And this truth is of absolute importance when it comes to protecting us from believing an empty gospel of works. It's absolutely important. Because if God chose us, if God saved us by a faith that He gave us, then He is also the one who is going to complete that work of faith in us. Which brings us to our second point for this morning. That we are completed by faith in Christ and not by works. Galatians 1:3-4. Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So when I think back to this Lego set that I was building, man, I was jamming on this thing. Right? I was going through page after page of directions. I had put, again, 2 out of the 3 sections together, and I kind of thought like I was this Lego master, right? I kind of felt like, man, I can accomplish and can finish any Lego set that you put in front of me. But all of that came crashing down when I misread the directions, right? And I built that roof in the wrong way. And if I did not correct the error in my building, I would have never been able to actually complete this creation. And so Paul, he's looking at the Galatians and he's saying something similar. He's saying, man, like you guys began so well, right? You started out so well. You received the gospel. You put your faith in Christ crucified. And you so clearly believed that Jesus and only Jesus alone could save you. But now you're acting foolish, right? He uses that word again. You're acting like idiots because you have made a fatal error that needs to be corrected. You have disconnected the God who brings you to faith in Christ alone from the God who keeps you in that faith. On the one hand, you know that God gave you faith and he saved you, and yet on the other hand, you are now believing that you have to add works of the flesh to that faith in order to continue to be saved. Think about it this way, church. Imagine somebody comes to you, a friend or whoever, and they give you $100. And they say to you, here's a $100 bill, and this is a gift. And you're excited about it. You're like, $100? Who doesn't love $100? And so then you take it, and you go to the bank. You take your $100, you go to the bank, you put it in your bank account. And you do that to keep it safe, and really to show that now that $100 belongs to you. But now imagine that right after you deposit it in your account, where the money now belongs to you, right after that, you get scared. And you're like, oh. Now, you know what? I got to do all of these nice things, all of these good deeds to this person who gave me this $100 to make sure that I can keep that $100 in my bank account. Like, how ridiculous is that, right? The money already belongs to you. It's already in your account. Like, there's no way that they can take it from you because it now belongs to you. But these foolish Galatians, they're being deceived on that point, right? They're being deceived by the Judaizers, and they're unable to take their conversion to its logical conclusion. Because if God brings us to faith in Christ through his Spirit, right? If he is the one who fully and wholly converts us and brings us to himself, then it only makes sense that he would be the one who fully is going to complete that work, right? We can't lose it. In fact, this is the exact thing that Paul said to the Philippians. Philippians 1:6, he said this. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. God is the one who converted us. And with that conversion, there is a promise that he is going to complete that work in and through us. This is great news. This is great news for us and for the Galatians. But it's also really good news that they're about to miss. Because if they are trying in any way to save themselves by works of the flesh, Paul tells us in the book of Romans, like, look, that's only going to lead you to death. He says this in Romans 8:13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And then similarly, he says in verse 4 of Galatians, supposed to be Galatians 3, by the way, sorry, of Galatians 3, did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? All they have gone through in coming to faith, and they've gone through a lot. You know, it was not easy to be a Roman citizen and come to Jesus. Right? Because for Romans, they're looking at the emperor, they're looking at Caesar, and they're saying, no, Caesar is Lord. And yet now with these Gentile believers coming to faith, they're facing harassment. They're facing persecution because they're now saying, no, Jesus is Lord. And yet they've gone through all of that. And it's all in danger of becoming meaningless. Because they are trying to maintain their faith by an empty gospel of works. And I will say this time and time again, that can't actually save them. Now look, I realize that for some of you, and I've had a couple of these conversations in walking through Galatians, it's been difficult. And it's been difficult because it feels like what I'm continually saying to you is that works don't matter. And if that's what you're hearing from me, I'm sorry that you're hearing that. But I want to assure you that that's not what I'm saying at all. In fact, I think that good works are an incredibly important part of our faith. Absolutely important. But here's the thing. We need to understand that good works, they are the fruit. They are the overflow of a genuine faith in Christ. And they are not the root. In fact, we can see this clearly. If we go back to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we add verse 10 to it. And we can see this relationship and how it works. Paul writes, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We are saved fully by God. And that comes through faith in Christ alone. That's the root, right? That's the root of our salvation. So that then from there we would follow him. And then we would do these good works that he has prepared for us to do from the beginning of time. That's the fruit of our faith. And so that means that good works are incredibly important because a genuine faith, a genuine root that saves us will overflow into fruit, right? Into the fruit of good works. And yet, the crazy thing about our good works is that even those things don't originate with us. Right? It doesn't originate with us. They come from God. That's what Ephesians 2:10 says. It comes from God, and they manifest themselves in the life of a believer as we live by faith. And the reason that we keep harping on the centrality of being saved and justified by faith in Christ versus works is because we are prone to make the same fatal error that the Galatians made. We can say amen when talking about how Jesus saved us, and yet what we can do is we can make our works the measuring stick of whether or not we're a Christian. Meaning that we have inadvertently made our works the basis of our right standing with God. We say things like, "I'm good with God because I do this or do that," or "I'm good with God because I don't do this," or "I don't do that." And here's the real, I'll say this, here's the real insidious truth about what happens when we make sort of our works the measuring stick of faith. It's that we actually end up cheapening the grand call of the gospel. Hear that. We end up cheapening the grand call of the gospel. No longer do we take seriously Paul's words that to live is Christ and to die is gain in Philippians 1:21, or Jesus' call to take up our cross and follow him daily in Matthew 16:24. Instead, what very often happens is that we reduce our faith. We reduce it down to bite-sized commands that make us feel good, right? They make us feel good like we've really are in the right standing with God, when all that we've done is we've created a form of godliness that can't save us and has no power, according to 2 Timothy 3:5. But when we continually come back to the grandeur of King Jesus and his work on our behalf, when we time and time again are focused on putting our full faith and our full hope in Christ alone, And when we continually come to grips with the fact that our entire life is held in His hands, then God, He will bring us to a place where we are willing to give everything, including our lives, to make Him known. No longer will our Christianity simply be about doing bite-sized and lifeless commands, but it will be about doing everything we can to spread the greatness and the goodness of our God and our Savior to the ends of the earth. But it begins. It begins by fighting the daily battle of faith, where we look to Jesus, we believe in Jesus, we cry out to Jesus and behold Jesus, so that we would be trusting Him not only to give us faith, but to complete His life-changing work in us and through us by the power of His Spirit in our lives. That brings us to our last point for this morning, that we are empowered by faith in Christ and not by works. Galatians 3:5. Paul says, "Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" And you'll notice, by the way, if you're depending on the Bible that you're reading, that for some of you that the sentence extends on into verse 6. Other translations take verse 6 and make it its own thing. So if you're wondering why I stopped there, it's because verse 6 relates to the next thought that Paul's going to make. So it's not that I was just being like, oh, I don't want to deal with that, right? It's because it relates to the next thing. So you'll see that next week. So this is the final question from Paul. And what he's doing here is he's actually summing up these other questions that he's already asked. But what he's doing now is he's actually coming at it from God's perspective. And the train of thought flows like this. Okay, so if you came to faith by believing in Jesus, and if your Christian life is completed and sustained by that faith, then let me ask you this. Think about God's work in your life. Is he working in your life? Is he doing miracles? And is he empowering you with his Spirit? Is he doing that by faith? Or is he doing that in you because you're doing these works of the law? And of course, they already know the answer, right? They already know the answer from the other questions. And the answer is, well, if all the other things are true, then he's doing it by faith. What's astounding to me about the Galatians, and really I would say about many believers, including myself, is how easily we disconnect our salvation and really this hope of an eternity that we have. We disconnect it from the power of God at work in us. We know that we're saved by grace through faith. And we know that by that same faith, we're going to spend an eternity with Jesus. And yet in between those two realities, Maybe we're either limping along with a lukewarm spiritual existence, or like I said in my previous point, we are making our life with Christ a lifeless and joyless set of rules to follow until Jesus returns. Is that what we want? Is that how we actually want to live? I don't. And yet what we continually miss is the fact that we have been given and are empowered by the Spirit of the living God. This means that God Himself, He has taken up residence within you. And it also means that He is at work in your life right now. Look with me at some of these verses. Titus 3:5-6. Paul says, "He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And the point here is that God, he has richly poured out his Spirit upon us. And by that same Spirit, he has given us new life. Or then in 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all with unveiled face beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This is an amazing truth that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are daily being fashioned into the image of God himself. That's amazing. That's good news. And then finally, Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The point here, and again, this is Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit coming on the disciples, and yet there is an application here to all believers that by the Spirit of God, we are empowered to be Christ's witnesses, to proclaim his excellencies, as Peter talks about in 1 Peter 2:9, to the ends of the earth, and to do that until the day that he returns. And this isn't just true for the disciples, it's not just true for the apostles, it's not just true for the first century church, but this is true for every person who's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet if we are not careful, we will easily miss out on the Spirit of God at work in us and through us because we are more focused on making sure that we're doing the right things versus putting our faith in the right person. And so my encouragement for all of us this morning is to make the fight of faith our greatest pursuit. To make sure that we are daily trusting in Jesus to save us. That we are trusting in Jesus to complete his work in us. And that we are trusting in Jesus to empower us by his Spirit to do the good works that he has prepared for each one of us to do from the beginning of time. Because if we pursue a real, genuine, and Spirit-filled faith in Christ alone, it will not only keep us from believing in empty gospel, again, this gospel that can't save us, but God, he will use it in our lives to produce great and mighty kingdom-building works until the day he calls us home. As Jesus says in John 14:12, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I come before you, Lord, to confess how easy it is for me to be somebody who can unknowingly rely on my works instead of coming to you, just seeking to believe you, to trust you, to believe that you are for me, not just to save me, but every moment of every day, to see how needy I am of you every moment to carry me through this life, and yet to behold you, believing that you are going to just have your way in my life by the power of your Holy Spirit, and to be open to that, to do with me whatever you see fit, to proclaim your excellencies to the ends of the earth. Lord, I know that's true of me, and I know that that's probably true of some in here. And so I ask, Lord, that you will help us to be a people who make the fight of faith, to believe you daily, to rely on you daily, not just for salvation, but for everything in life. That we will believe that you who started the work will be the one who finishes it. And yet we will rely on you, believing that you will accomplish that work in us and through us. And yet believing that through that faith, we will see you do mighty kingdom-building works through us until that day that you call us home. We pray all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.